The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 9th chapter. As Jesus passed on from there, he saw a man called Matthew sitting at the tax booth. And he said to him, "Follow me." And he rose and followed him. And as Jesus reclined at table in the house, behold, many tax collectors and sinners came and were reclining with Jesus and his disciples. And when the Pharisees saw this, they said to his disciples, "Why does your teacher eat with tax collectors and sinners?" But when he heard it, he said, "Those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick. Go and learn what this means. I desire mercy and not sacrifice, for I came not to call the righteous, but sinners." This is the gospel of the Lord. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Today is the festival of Saint Matthew, apostle and evangelist. In his letter to the church in Ephesus, St. Paul identified apostles and evangelists as gifts which our ascended Lord has given to his church. Thus, on this festival, it is given us to rejoice in our Savior and in his good gifts to us, in the person and work of his apostle, Matthew. The gifts Jesus has given us through Matthew's gospel are many. Without Matthew, we would know next to nothing about Jesus' guardian, Joseph, how he struggled when he discovered the Virgin Mary was pregnant, the flight to Egypt, and the return then to Nazareth. Along the way, Matthew records that Jesus is Emmanuel, and tells us of the visit of the Magi and of the slaughter of the innocents of Bethlehem when Herod was trying to eliminate the newborn king. None of these things are recorded in the other Gospels. Matthew also provides the fullest version of the Beatitudes and of Jesus' teaching in the Sermon on the Mount, including the form of the Lord's Prayer we are accustomed to use in the divine service. It's Matthew alone who makes it explicit that the cup of the Lord's Supper is for the forgiveness of sins. And of course, there is the Lord's commission and promise of Matthew 28, which are unique to his gospel as well. "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Make disciples by baptizing and teaching. I am with you always to the end of the age." All of this from the pen of the first evangelist, eyewitness of our Lord's ministry, disciple and apostle. Of the 12, only John shares in the distinction of being an instrument of the Spirit in providing a written gospel to the church. But we have reason to rejoice that our Lord blessed his church through Matthew, apostle and evangelist, perhaps especially when we remember Saint Matthew as he was at the beginning. Sinner. Now, don't get me wrong, I'm not suggesting that we rejoice in sin, though, of course, on a personal level, you do precisely that, don't you? In the perversity of your fallen state, A part of you enjoys letting someone who has irritated you really have it, or giving your desire free rein. Your own sinful nature delights in the very evil the new man in you deplores. But it's this truth of your own sinfulness that will lead you to rejoice that Saint Matthew was a sinner. For in Jesus' mercy toward Matthew, the sinner is a revelation of the mercy he has for you and for me as well. Today's gospel records, Jesus saw a man called Matthew sitting at the tax booth, and he said to him, "Follow me." I probably don't need to remind you what first century Jews thought of tax collectors, especially their countrymen who collected taxes on behalf of Imperial Rome. It was bad enough that in the tax system of that day, tax collectors were thieves. They used the coercive power of their office to collect more than was strictly due. And the difference between what they collected and what Rome required was theirs to keep. The fact that they were in league with foreigners to oppress their own countrymen just made it worse. There was good reason to class tax collectors with prostitutes and other public sinners. But Jesus sees Matthew in the midst of engaging in this business and says to him, "Follow me." And Matthew rose and followed him. Notice that there's nothing Matthew did to qualify himself for Jesus' call. He didn't renounce his work or promise to repay ill-gotten gain. And after that, Jesus called him. Quite the contrary. While he was still a sinner, Jesus called him. Jesus' gracious call is all the qualification a sinner needs to follow him. If Christ invites you, who can declare his invitation invalid? We are not told in whose house the meal was held. But if Jesus followed the procedure he later would with the chief tax collector Zacchaeus, the banquet would have been held in Matthew's house. Jesus, with his disciples, reclined at table there. That is, they accepted and welcomed a big group of Matthew's friends and acquaintances, tax collectors and sinners. The Pharisees were scandalized. They took their faith seriously. They cared how people acted, what they did, and how they lived. Indignant, the Pharisees asked Jesus' disciples, "Why does your teacher eat with tax collectors and sinners? How dare he? Doesn't he know that this will just encourage them? It would be entirely different if he condemned them and call them to repent. Why does he eat with them?" It would be interesting to know how the disciples might have answered the Pharisees, how well they understood. Instead, we have Jesus' own answer. "Those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick. Go and learn what this means. I desire mercy and not sacrifice. For I came not to call the righteous, but sinners." I came not to call the righteous, but sinners. It's as if Jesus was posting a policy for sinners only. The righteous need not apply. That goes against every fiber of our religious being, doesn't it? It's not the sort of thing you or I would have come up with in a million years. Jesus is for sinners. Only sinners. If you're not a sinner, Jesus is not for you. He has nothing to offer you. But that means that you don't have to do anything to pre-qualify for Jesus. You don't have to reach a certain level of holiness. You don't have to achieve a fixed number of days free from that sin to which you seem to keep returning. Jesus came to call sinners, came to heal those sick with the terminal case of sin. That means he came for you, came to heal you. For those who are righteous, he has nothing. But for those who are sick, for those who are captive to sin, those who cannot free themselves, he has everything. Open arms of love, forgiveness for sin, help in temptation, new life in exchange for death, rest from all toil and sorrow. With this introduction to Matthew, the sinner whom Jesus called to be both apostle and evangelist, it's no surprise that in his gospel we have Jesus' gracious invitation, "Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden. Come to me and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light." Jesus says, "Those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick. I came not to call the righteous, but sinners." And still today, he comes to call sinners, to call you and to call me, "Come, take, eat, this is my body. Drink of it, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins." The Jesus who ate with sinners during his earthly ministry goes on welcoming sinners to his table. Here he deals with the sickness of your sin with his true body and blood, the medicine of immortality, as some of the church fathers described it. Here he heals you to live no longer as a sinner destined for hell, but as his own dear brother or sister, a child of his heavenly Father through holy baptism, and thus also an heir of heaven. Isn't that marvelous? The very same Jesus who called Saint Matthew and made him an apostle and evangelist is the Jesus who still today calls sinners to his table, receives and welcomes you and me. This is what the Christian life is all about. Not keeping someone's list of rules, not even God's, but eating and drinking with Jesus in his kingdom, letting his life flow into you and enjoying his presence and his gifts. This is real life. This is what you were created for. This is what you were redeemed for. This is the joyful news that St. Matthew's Gospel announces to all. Jesus sinners doth receive. And for that, all glory be to the Father and to the Son and to the Holy Spirit, forever and ever. Amen. Please rise. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord, to life everlasting.